Welcome to today's deep dive. It is Sunday, June 14th, 2026, and the tech landscape is just shifting faster than I think any of us can really comprehend.
Yeah, it's moving at a breakneck pace, honestly.
Right. And today we are zooming in on a very specific, highly lucrative corner of the modern economy. We're talking about generative AI salaries in India.
Which is just a fascinating market right now.
Totally. And to guide us, we are using this really comprehensive source, the Generative AI Salary in India 2026 Complete Guide. It's published by Generative AI Masters.
A great resource. Really lays out the numbers in black and white.
It really does. So for you listening at home, consider this your ultimate cheat sheet. Okay, let's unpack this. We need to decode exactly why these salaries are skyrocketing and, you know, how you can actually navigate this boom.
Because it's not just a list of numbers, right? I mean, this is a reflection of a massive structural shift in how businesses value talent in 2026.
Exactly. So whether you're a seasoned data scientist, maybe a fresh graduate, or even a non-IT professional looking to make a career switch, this deep dive holds the blueprint to maximizing your worth.
Absolutely. The baseline numbers alone are a huge wake-up call.
Right. So let's get into the economics of this Gen AI premium. The guide says the general average Gen AI salary band in 2026 is between 12 LPA to 18 LPA.
Yeah, lakhs per annum.
Right. But that is just the middle. That's the median.
It's the safe middle ground, yeah. But the curve is incredibly skewed.
Totally skewed. Like, freshers are pulling 6 to 12 LPA right out of the gate.
Which is wild for entry level.
It is. And then mid to senior engineers, they are easily hitting 20 to 70 LPA.
And it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't. Top senior or principal engineers at AI-first startups or global capability centers, they are pulling total compensation packages of 1 crore or more.
Over a crore. Let that sink in.
It's unbelievable. And there's this thing the source calls the Gen AI premium.
Right, the premium.
Yeah, so generative AI specialized data scientists are earning 25 to 40% more than generalist data scientists.
Even though they might have the exact same years of experience.
Exactly. Because generalists are sitting around, what, 11 to 14 LPA?
Roughly, yeah. That's the industry standard for predictive analytics right now.
So why the massive gap? The source is super explicit about this. It's scarce talent against urgent demand.
Right, and immediate business impact.
Yeah, cutting support costs, speeding up content creation. Plus, you have these global pay benchmarks from US and European clients.
And don't forget NASSCOM.
Oh, right. NASSCOM's projection of India's double-digit AI market growth. But, I mean, I have to ask.
All right.
It's like general software engineering is like knowing how to build houses, right? Mm-hmm. But Gen AI engineering is like knowing how to build skyscrapers in a city that just ran out of land.
That is a perfect way to look at it.
So what does this all mean? Are companies just throwing money blindly? Or is the ROI really that fast?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, companies treat Gen AI as a competitive weapon.
A weapon? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about tenure anymore. You don't get paid for sitting in a chair for 10 years.
Right. The old legacy tech model.
Exactly. It's about demonstrable, hands-on ability that unlocks immediate new product lines. You build a system that cuts customer service tickets by 40% in 1 week, the business saves millions.
So paying that engineer 50 LPA is just a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. It's fractional compared to the operational saving.
That makes total sense. So since companies are paying for that immediate business value, we really need to look at who exactly is delivering it.
Because not all AI titles are created equal.
Oh, definitely not. It's like role roulette. And the highest paid role right now, the LLM engineer.
Large language model engineers. They are the top of the food chain.
20 to 35 LPA for mid-level and 35 to 60 plus LPA for seniors.
And they get that because they do the hard stuff.
Right. The guide says they are valued because they can explain why a model failed. They build reliable retrieval architectures. They fix the hallucination problems.
They build the guardrails. They make sure the AI doesn't leak private company data.
Which brings us to the entry point, the prompt engineer.
Yes. Prompt engineering.
Wait, here's where it gets really interesting. Because isn't prompt engineer the buzziest job title of the decade?
It was. 2 years ago, it was all anyone talked about.
But the guide says content-focused prompt roles are only paying 4 to 8 LPA.
Yeah, it's a completely different tier.
And there's a crucial caveat here. Without Python and adjacent engineering skills, prompt engineering salaries hit a hard ceiling at 10 to 15 LPA.
A very hard ceiling.
The standalone title is actually merging into roles like applied AI engineer. it's not its own thing anymore.
It's becoming a feature of a job, not the whole job.
Right. I mean, a prompt engineer is basically like a race car driver, right? They steer the AI.
Yeah.
But an LLM engineer is the mechanic who actually builds the engine from scratch.
I completely validate that analogy.
You can't just talk to the AI anymore.
No, you can't. The rare combination of deep model knowledge and production engineering is what breaks that salary ceiling.
Employers want systems, not just clever API calls.
Exactly. If the vector database has latency issues, tweaking your prompt won't fix it. You need to know the code.
Which explains why machine learning engineers are doing so well.
The MLEs.
Yes. Software engineers who pivot into ML, focusing on production and software fundamentals, they're hitting 16 to 24 LPA in just 18 to 24 months.
Because they already know how to build reliable, scalable software. They just layer the AI on top.
So if the LLM engineer is the mechanic building the engine, what tools do they actually have in their toolbox?
The technical stack is everything here.
Let's talk about that stack. Python is the absolute foundation. Non-negotiable.
If you don't know Python, you're not in the game.
Right. And knowing the APIs like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, and Microsoft Copilot, that is just the start.
Bare minimum table stakes.
The big money requires LangChain for chaining LLM calls together.
Crucial for agentic workflows.
And Hugging Face for open models and fine-tuning. Plus, vector databases.
Vector databases are massive right now.
The backbone of retrieval augmented generation.
Yeah, hooking the AI up to private enterprise data securely.
And then, if you add cloud AI skills like AWS SageMaker, Google Vertex AI, or Azure ML, the guide says that adds a massive 30 to 40% premium to your salary.
Because deploying locally is easy. Securing it in the cloud is where the commercial value is.
Plus, domain expertise. If you know fintech, healthcare, or legal tech, that adds another 25 to 40%.
High pay, compliance, financial regulations. Mm-hmm. You need engineers who understand those rules.
It's literally like a video game skill tree.
I mean?
Like, you unlock Python, which lets you unlock LangChain, which lets you fight the final boss for the highest salary.
That's exactly how the market treats it.
But, I mean, how does someone actually prove they have these skills? Just rack up a bunch of online certificates.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the source explicitly warns against relying on certificates.
Really? They don't care about certificates.
Real, deployed projects on GitHub beat generic certificates during negotiation every single time.
Wow, so they want to see that actual code.
They want to see your commit history.
Yep.
It's all about showing what your model actually saved or earned in a real-world scenario.
So show, don't tell.
Exactly. You negotiate based on demonstrable business efficiency.
Okay, so now that you, the listener, know what skills to learn and what roles to target, where do you physically go?
Geography still matters, heavily.
And how do you negotiate to get those top-tier numbers? Let's break down the cities. Bangalore is the undisputed leader.
The Silicon Valley of India holds its crown.
15 to 45 LPA for mid-senior roles. The guide attributes this to the density of product companies and startups.
It creates a localized bidding war.
Right. And then Hyderabad is a close second, offering 12 to 35 LPA, mostly driven by pharma and fintech.
Massive footprint there.
Mumbai pays high for finance and media AI. And Pune, Chennai, and Delhi NCR are all strong markets, too.
Very robust ecosystems.
But wait, in an era of remote work and global capability centers, does moving to Bangalore really still matter that much?
It does. While remote work definitely exists, the dense clusters of AI-first companies in places like Bangalore and Hyderabad create fierce local competition for talent.
Ah, so it raises the bar for everyone.
Exactly. It drives up the baseline expectations and compensation packages for everyone, remote or not.
The proximity premium scales outward.
Precisely.
And what about job hopping? The guide has some pretty stark numbers on strategy.
It's the only way to maximize your jumps.
Changing companies every 2 to 3 years yields 30 to 50% jumps.
Compared to what, maybe single-digit internal hikes if you stay.
Exactly. Single digits. It's crazy.
It's because the tech moves so fast. If you stay 5 years, your skills align with their legacy stack. If you jump, you're selling the bleeding-edge frameworks you just learned to a company desperate to modernize.
The cross-pollination of new architectures, I love that. And for freshers or career switchers.
It is incredibly permeable right now.
The guide says non-IT grads can absolutely enter this field. With proper training and a solid GitHub portfolio, they can start at 5 to 8 LPA and climb rapidly.
The gatekeeping of a formal computer science degree is eroding.
Even internships are paying well. 15,000 to 40,000 rupees a month, and they often convert to full-time packages.
They're the ultimate proving ground. Prove your code works under a production load, and you're in.
Okay, so let's summarize the critical takeaways here for you listening. Don't just settle for being a prompt engineer.
Learn Python. Master RAG.
Build a GitHub portfolio instead of just collecting certificates.
Target those product companies.
And do not be afraid to switch jobs every couple of years to secure that 30 to 50% bump.
You have to be strategic.
Definitely. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
And this really builds on the guide's 2026 data.
Yeah. If generative AI continues to grow at this staggering double-digit rate.
And these LLM engineers are actively building AI that writes code and automates complex tasks.
Exactly. Will the highly specialized, extremely high-paying Gen AI skills of 2026 become the fully automated baseline AI capabilities of 2030?
Are we basically building the tools that will eventually do these very jobs?
Building the machine that replaces the mechanic. It's something to think about as you navigate this boom. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep building, keep exploring, and we will catch you next time.